Podcast 22, God the Father. Today's Gospel reading is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. This Sunday is Father's Day, so we're following that theme. For me, I was very lucky to have a kind and loving human father who blessed my life. Not everyone is so fortunate, and I recognize that for some people their experiences and memories of their earthly father are not so pleasant. Or maybe they are those of an absent father, someone who was never there. As we think today of the characteristics of God the Father, my hope is that there will be a measure of healing for people who have been hurt by their earthly fathers, and the awakening of renewed trust for all of us in God the Father, who knows us and loves us dearly and deeply. One of my more whimsical online purchases is a t-shirt that I took a fancy to. It's quite simple, grey in colour, and the text on the chest says, "You can't scare me, I have three daughters." The privilege of being a father is not a blessing everyone has, and it's both a privilege and a responsibility, and sometimes more than a little bit scary, hence the grain of truth in the t-shirt slogan. In the Genesis lesson in the lectionary today, we hear the story about God the Father caring for his first children, Adam and Eve. God the Father provides for their needs in the Garden of Eden. He gives them boundaries. He gives them a measure of responsibility and autonomy. He sets the pattern of relationship between himself and his children. They are loved, valued, and respected. In this first chapter of the biblical narrative, God reveals his fatherhood, and the nature of his fatherhood is the model for all fathers, for all time, since then. As Genesis 1:26 tells us, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God our Father is the model father, and at their best, all fathers intuitively want to be fathers like God the Father. Sadly, sin, fallen human nature, and other factors often intervene, and this direction is not followed. We don't always follow in the footsteps of God the Father. Moving on to the Gospel passage for today, this is about Jesus teaching the disciples in what we have come to call the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer starts, as we all know, "Our Father in heaven," or in Hebrew, "Avinu Shebashamayim." Note that this Hebrew phrase is not unique to the Lord's Prayer, and it's the opening phrase for a number of Hebrew prayers. However, the word Jesus uses for Father when he starts the Lord's Prayer was certainly different from the common Hebrew prayer, because it was an Aramaic word, not a Hebrew word. Abba was the intimate word used for father in a family setting. In today's world, in our English language, we'd probably say daddy. Jesus is modeling our relationship with God the Father in one word, daddy. Personal, intimate, loving, relational, trusting. All the things a good father-son relationship implies. Jesus uses this word to guide his disciples in how they are to relate to God the Father. Note that Jesus' use of the word Abba is only found in one other place in the Gospels. In Mark 14, verse 36, when Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he prays, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." In his hour of deepest despair, Jesus appeals to his daddy to allow him out of the terrible price he must pay for the consequences of man's sin. This is the measure of the depth and strength of his relationship with God the Father. And that depth and strength of relationship carries him on to the terrible path lying before him. The Lord's Prayer is not only a model of how to pray, It is also a model for how we, as children of God, relate to our Heavenly Father, and how our Heavenly Father relates to us. In the Lord's Prayer, we acknowledge that God the Father is holy and that we are not. We seek God the Father's will for our lives and for His will to be prevailing over all the earth. We come before God the Father with our basic needs. Give us this day our daily bread. God the Father knows all our needs, our material needs, our physical needs, our emotional needs, our spiritual needs, before we even ask Him. We confess our sins to Him, and in return, we receive forgiveness. He is our model for forgiving sins, and we, as children of the Father, are required to model that same behavior as we forgive those who trespass against us. In this way, God is remaking us in His own image. We pray that we may not be led into temptation and may be delivered from evil. We acknowledge our frailty before God and how easily we sometimes fall. We are vulnerable before God the Father with our weaknesses. We don't hide parts of our life from God and pretend everything is okay when it is not. This prayer Jesus is teaching His disciples is not a prayer to a God who is far away and distant, cold and remote like the stars. This is God our Father, who is intensely interested in every part of our lives, who wants to live closely in relationship with us, and is deeply committed to our well-being. And for our part, we must have the courage to be open, honest, and transparent before God. For Scripture tells us that God the Father knows us intimately, even before we were born. Psalm 139 verse 13 says, "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb." And in verse 15, "Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were all the days that were formed for me, when none of them yet existed." God the Father knows all about us, from when we are born to when we die. He knows all my days, what my life is going to hold, where I'm going to live, what kind of work I'll do, all the circumstances of my life. Not only does God the Father know all about us, God the Father adopts us into His family. As Paul tells us in Galatians 4, and I'm reading from the Message version, "You can tell for sure that now you are fully adopted as His own children, because God sent the Spirit of His Son into our lives, crying out, 'Papa, Abba, Father.'" Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? And if you are a child, you are also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. So Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, reinforces what Jesus has said to the disciples when he was teaching them the Lord's Prayer, using the exact same word Jesus used, Abba, or Papa, Father. Paul confirms that we are the children of God the Father in a living relationship with Him. Relationship, relationship, relationship. That is what God the Father is about. That is what God the Father wants with us. However, this is not the only thing God the Father wants from us. The Apostle James points out, as part of today's epistle reading, that faith without works is dead. Back in the beginning, in Genesis, God the Father provided in very practical ways for Adam and Eve's needs. James reminds us, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." The outworking of our close relationship with God the Father is that the love that he freely bestows on us then overflows out to others in need. If you are a parent, is there any better feeling than seeing your child being kind and helpful to someone else? I wonder if God the Father feels like that sometimes about us. So to sum up, God the Father is the model for all good fathers. God the Father knows each of us intimately. God the Father wants to have a deep personal relationship with us. And God the Father's love overflows from us to others around us.